God. Amen. We start out this morning, we are all sinners in the eyes of God until we give our life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and through Him we are then found righteous. And all victory comes through Christ and Christ alone. This morning, what I want to talk about is having victory in the midst of the bad. I want to talk about three options that we have when bad things happen to you. We all go through life's trials and difficulties. Some are small struggles, some are more difficult, and others may be devastating. So this morning's message was really, it was inspired by a quote. You may have heard of him, Pastor Rick Warren. How many of you have heard of Pastor Rick Warren? As you may know, Pastor Rick Warren lost his son not too long ago to suicide. And one of the things that he tweeted out months later was the following. When bad things happen, you have three choices. You can let it destroy you, you can let it define you, or you can develop from it. Now, this isn't just some pastor that is tweeting out something that he thought was a cool little catchphrase. This is a man dealing with the loss of a son who took his own life, who said that when these bad things happen, you can let it destroy you, you can let it define you, or you can develop from it. Simple, yet profound. So this morning, I want to look at the three choices together. What it means to allow life circumstances to destroy you, what it means to allow life circumstances to define you, and what it means to develop from them. So this morning's message may be a little bit different than other messages, but just as important. So let's start out with, you can let it destroy you. And there may be some of us, maybe the majority of us, are sitting here this morning where we have gone through things in our life where thoughts crept into our mind that this is going to destroy me. Maybe not in those words, but the feeling of destruction within our own hearts. What does it mean to be destroyed by your circumstance? In a sense, it is giving into a sense of hopelessness, refusing to move forward in your life, to fall into deep despair, to live as though dead. Many times, this comes about by loss. A lot of times, loss or death is a main culprit of leading people to a destructive choice of life. Loss of a loved one, loss of a child, loss of a job and stability, loss of a family through divorce or separation. Another culprit may be consequences of bad choices, which lead to a loss of family or relationship, or even lead to prison or other life-altering things that may happen. If we're not careful, some of us may choose to allow those things or circumstances to destroy us. It is literally a choice to allow something bad to destroy you. And so we ask the question, why do we allow to be destroyed? Why would we allow circumstances to come in and try to destroy our life? And before I get into that, let me just kind of prephrase all this. Let me put this out, a little disclaimer before we get into it. All grief is different for each and every individual. And no one should ever tell you that you should be over it by now, okay? No one walks in your own shoes. However, when grief or loss begins to interrupt daily life and activities over a sustained period of time and it becomes unhealthy, that is when you need to start looking at the fact of, am I allowing the circumstance to overtake me and destroy my situation in my life? Okay, everyone with me? I'm not saying that when you go through loss, you shouldn't be grieving, you shouldn't be crying, you shouldn't be upset. It may even take months, it may even take a year, or whatever the case may be. But when it gets to the point where it is unhealthy and it is now consuming you and you can't function normally anymore, you need to really ask the question, am I allowing it to now destroy me? Many times we allow it to happen and it's because we become overwhelmed. we don't feel like life will be the same or worth it anymore. A lot of times when we lose someone special in our life and they pass on, it is an overwhelming feeling. And it's hard to imagine what life would be like without somebody that you love that has been with you day after day after day. And so it's easy for that overwhelming feeling to take control. Sometimes it's in the form of guilt. We feel it's wrong to go on with our life. How can I do that? It's like I'm forgetting my loved one and the pain that I feel. Some people feel guilty that they can't move on because it's disrespectful, and they don't want other people to see that they are moving on because of what other people may think, that they're moving on too quick, or just that guiltiness of if I'm moving forward, you know, I don't want them to think that I forgot about who I love. Sometimes it's shock and disbelief. The refusal or struggle to get back into the reality of life around us. We're just in that shock, and that is part of the grieving phase, is that you go through shock and disbelief, and you just can't believe it. And it's very hard to get back into the reality of life that is around us. Sometimes it's the void and the struggle of daily memories that are no longer there. Ultimately, it is easier to remain in these things than to climb forward and persevere in a life that is different and painful. So sometimes that void, that struggle, causes us to hold back, to really kind of persevere and pull forward with not having those that we love around us. Or again, it's not just with loss of those that we love, but it could be, again, job or through separation or divorce of children and so forth. So when we are allowing bad things to destroy us, it does a couple things to us, and we need to understand what these things do to us. Number one, it changes you sometimes for the worst. You don't care anymore. You become cynical. You become angry. You become bitter. Have you ever been there? Sometimes these things, that it happens. You change during that period, and you become angry or just angry at God or angry in general or cynical, and I just don't care anymore. Don't bother me. Sometimes it causes us to lose track of your God-given purpose in life because you're so consumed with your loss. And again, it's okay to deal with your loss, but if it comes to the point of unhealthiness and where you are so consumed with it that you forget that God put you here for a purpose, and that person that you love so dearly that you lost, they are not lost if they're in Jesus Christ, but they were alive and they are well. And they are living it up better than any of us could ever live it up right now. And so in our being consumed in their loss, we are losing out on our purpose that God has placed us here for. And I'm sure your loved one would say, hey, there's plenty of time for us to catch up a bit again. Do the work of the Lord, amen? Sometimes we lose the ability for looking out for others' needs. Why? Again, because we're so consumed in our own. The time goes on and on and on, and it could be years and years later, and guess what? I'm still oblivious to the needs of people around me. Some of the best things you could do in most difficult times is get involved in serving others. Sometimes you lose drive, you lose energy and hope, and wonder if life is even worth it anymore. And when you hear that, you know what you're hearing? You're hearing a lie. Unfortunately, Satan doesn't always play fair. It's easy for our flesh to get down, and when our flesh is down, Satan will take the opportunity. And sometimes you'll begin to hear, you know what? Maybe it's not even worth living life anymore. We need to make sure that we don't listen to the lies, that we don't give Satan the opportunity to keep you on the sidelines. Sometimes it can cause a loss of faith in God. It doesn't matter how strong you have been or how long you've been a believer. There are times that when you go through certain things in your life, it is easy for doubt to try to creep in and you begin to want to lose faith in God. Well, God, how can you allow this to happen if you're in control? And we'll get into some of these answers as we talk about developing from these situations. Secondly is you can let your circumstance define you. Many times I've preached on the topic of not allowing your circumstances to define you, but define your circumstances according to your faith. Don't allow your circumstances to define who you are. You define your circumstances according to your faith. Amen? This situation I'm going through, you're not going to tell me who I am. I already know who I am in Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you the way we're going to go about it. What does it mean to be defined by your bad circumstance? You are no longer living life for you, or really for God, but are now living in the bondage of your circumstance. It has become you instead of you being you. Have you ever felt that way sometimes? Where something in your life comes, again, it could be a loss of a job, it could be something wrong in a relationship, in the family, but now you're in a situation where you're just kind of in a bondage and you aren't you anymore. You're whatever this circumstance is trying to morph you into. What it is doing is it's trying to define you. What does it mean? Or what causes it? Many times it's caused by a consequence for oneself or another. Sometimes we go through bad things because they are consequences of our own poor choices, or sometimes we go through bad things because of poor choices of others around us. Parents, how many times have you gone through bad circumstances because your children made poor choices? You didn't have to raise your hand, Rosie, but that's fine. So sometimes these things happen because of consequences of ourselves or others. Or again, sometimes it could be a loss. A loved one dies, a loss of job or stability, divorce, an affair, an addiction, a financial ruin, an ungodly past, either privately known in one's heart or publicly known. These are all circumstances that can try to define you as a person. Again, we have a literal choice to allow our situation to define us for the worse. But why would we allow that to happen? Number one, sometimes we feel guilty or ashamed. I feel guilty or ashamed of what I did or the circumstance that is going on right now, and so I kind of just allow it to define who I am. I'm ashamed of it, and I can't move forward from it. I just can't get past it. And I allow it to define me. We think there is one way out, and this just is the way it is now. There's no way out. This is just the way it is. We can actually, and you know, this happens, we can actually allow it to define us because sometimes we can thrive on self-pity and attention. Believe it or not, even in the worst of circumstances that we allow in our life, we will not move forward from it. We allow it to define us because we can receive pity and attention from it, which is a whole nother issue that goes into a lack of self-confidence in who you are and who you are in Jesus Christ. Sometimes we allow it to happen, or it happens because we're overwhelmed by the judgment that has come from others. We are defined in our circumstance because we have allowed the judgment of other people to be placed upon us until we walk around with that. Sometimes we allow it to happen because we're afraid to admit wrong, and we stand up and head into the right direction and to make it right. We're afraid to take that difficult stand in making it right and turning it around. So we'd rather allow the situation to define us and stick in it. And finally, sometimes it's because we decide life will never be the same or right again. Because either I blew it, or if you look at the situation where someone died, that loved one was my life. Sometimes you'll hear people say, that person was my life. And it's true, they may have been your life, but we need to make sure that, again, their death does not define us as who we are as we are living now. So what does it all mean to me? What does it do to me? It changes my personality. I used to be this way, bad circumstances come in my life, now I'm this way. It changed my personality. It tries to mold me into something much less than how God sees me. I'm molded into someone that is full of shame, guilt, ridden, unworthy, and worthless. I'm telling you this morning, this is just about speaking the truth, that if you've gone through circumstances, these are the feelings that you feel. And you could walk around and someone say, how you doing? And you'll say, yeah, fine. In order for healing to take place or victory to take place in the midst of our troubles, we need to understand what are the things that are easy to fall into and how do I make sure I go through a healthy way of getting through them in victory in Jesus Christ. And that's really what this is about this morning. What else does it do to me? It makes me feel hopeless with no plan or purpose. It's over. What else does it do to me? The only time I feel good is when I get a shot of self-pity and attention. Again, going back to those that kind of feed off of it. It's a self-high. I feel so bad about the circumstance I'm in, even the one that I caused myself. Sometimes you'll see, if you enjoy Facebook, you'll see the drama all put up there that people have caused themselves to get attention because they can't find the true self-confidence to overcome it. They look for a false high from other people. And let me tell you, that ain't going to be enough to get you to where you need to be. Your confidence needs to be in the Lord, and you don't need self-high from somebody else causing drama or pity. Sometimes what it does to me is it steals my strength from persevering to the hope of God's power to overcome. Sometimes it causes me to make decisions based upon the situation that normally I wouldn't choose. You know, when you go through things, sometimes your mind's not all there. And that's why it's important to have people that you love and you trust that you can bounce things off of. People that can encourage you to help you in making healthy and right decisions. Sometimes it allows circumstances to master over you. It places me in bondage. And we know, those who have been coming to Bible study, we're not to allow anything other than God Himself to be mastered over us. Amen? So, you can choose to allow your bad circumstances to develop you. This is the third one, and this is the one that we need to be focused on. Allowing our bad circumstances to develop us. Okay? Again, you go through your grieving process. You do what you need to do to keep moving forward. Sometimes it's baby steps, baby steps, baby steps, but you're moving forward. But it's about developing, not allowing it to destroy you, not allowing it to define you, but developing you. What does it mean to be developed by your circumstances? It is a strengthening, and strengthening your hope and trust in God to give you strength to overcome your circumstance. To be more mature in God. This does not mean you don't mourn, that you are not grieved by choices, or even that you are hurt in your heart. But in the end of the day, those things are not what leads you forward. It is your faith in the one whose name we find strength, in the one whose name we find joy and salvation, and the ability to move forward by grace in His Son. Amen. It is the strength that He gives us to move forward. Circumstances in my life, when I feel hopeless or felt hopeless or didn't know if you'd be able to move forward or whatever, or loss, or is it ever going to be the same? Those feelings, those struggles, I don't know. But I do know who He is. And if my trust and my hope and faith is in Him, He is the one that will develop me in my circumstance and move me forward by His grace and strengthen me. Romans chapter 5 talks about gaining hope. It says, we also rejoice in our suffering because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. When we allow our circumstances to develop in us, though the suffering, through the perseverance and through the character building, it ultimately leads to hope. What is hope? Let me rattle a couple things off about hope. Number one, God makes all things new in hope. So if you have made poor choices in your life that you regret, through hope in Jesus Christ, God can make all things new. Amen. In hope, God gives us victory over our past. In hope, life only truly begins after this, after we give ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ and make Him Lord of our life. God has a plan and purpose for me, not to harm me, but to prosper me, to give me a hope and a future. We know that God will not abandon me, but give me the strength to rise up and overcome my hurts and my pains. There is forgiveness of my sin. It is wiped away. It is cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And if in the case of loss, we know that we will be reunited with our loved ones that are in Jesus Christ. There is no circumstance in this life, either caused by ourselves or others, or just that are natural, that we cannot overcome through the hope of Jesus. And of course, I could go on and on. But let's see what it looks like when we literally choose to allow our circumstance to develop us when we run up against some of the things that we talked about earlier. So I'm going to take some of the things that we talked about earlier that may want us to destroy our life or define our life, and let's replace that with being developed. So again, in grief, I'm not telling you that you got to hurry up and get over it. It's all in your own time, but to be destroyed or defined, we talked about being overwhelmed. Life never being the same, not worth it. The refusal to struggle to get back into the reality of life around us. That is being destroyed or defined. To be developed is this thought. Though overwhelmed in the feeling of great loss, I know all things are in God's hands. And though life may be different, it is still worth living, because at the end of the day, I'm not living for my loved one or living for myself. I'm living for Christ and the purpose He called me. There's nothing wrong with moving forward. You could still miss the one you love. You know, I still miss a great deal my papap, who passed away two, three years ago. And, you know, there's not a day I don't think about him. But I cherish the memories and the things that he taught me, and I know I will see him again. And at the end of the day, I didn't live for my grandfather. You know, as much as I do for my kids, you work for your kids, you do all the best you can for your life, but at the end of the day, I don't live for my kids. I live for Jesus Christ and his purpose. And if you're living for Christ, then your kids and your wife or your husband or your, it will all fall into place. Amen? So Christ needs to be the top priority. Something that destroys or defines the thought, where we say we don't care anymore, we become cynical, become bitter, angry, depressed. The other end of that is understand the death and sickness is a part of this sinful fallen world. But we have a promise that we will be reunited with loved ones who are in Christ. I must keep running the race, fighting the good fight till the Lord calls me home. Accept the will of God. When someone dies, or again, something happens, you lose your job, you can become very cynical, very upset, want to give up, become bitter and angry. But if I understand that this is the way life is here on earth because of the sinful world we live in, because sin causes our bodies to die, because sin causes us, other hardships and circumstances, it is what it is. That is the way life is. I need to understand that I need to just accept the will of God in my life and not be consumed by the things that happen. The third thing is lose track of God's given purpose, to lose track of ministering to others, to allow Satan to use circumstances to keep me on the sidelines. The other end of that is understand I have a God-given purpose and not allow circumstances to derail me from that. If I do what I am called to do, what I'm really called to live for, I need to make sure it's a top priority in my life. and not allow anything to derail it. You know, when you go through suffering or loss, yeah, you're going to kind of drop back a little bit because you need to heal. You need to grieve. You need to go through whatever you're going through. But at the end of the day, I need to know that I need to persevere and move forward because God has a purpose and a plan for my life. Amen. And that's what we got to do. The next one is a loss of faith in God. My faith is not to be built on any other foundation, person, job, situation, other than Jesus Christ. If I lose my job, I can't lose my faith in God. My job is not my God. If I lose a loved one, I can't lose my faith in God because my loved one is not God. My loss in faith in God should not happen because my foundation and everything that I am should be built upon God in the name of Jesus Christ. He is my foundation. That will never leave me. That will never crumble underneath my feet. He will never leave me or forsake me. Because things are not done the way we think they should go, should we then lose faith in God? But instead acknowledge His ways are higher than our ways. To understand some things that happen are because of the fallen world we live in, as well as consequences to the free will and choices that we have made. It's one thing when people blame God for things they don't understand. It's another thing when people blame God and it's their own stupidity that caused it. And I'm sure we've all done it ourselves. God, why? When God would probably say, well, did you not see the choices that you made? God gives us all free will, and in our free will, sometimes we make choices that are contrary to His, and because of that, there are circumstances and consequences that come. But I should not lose my faith in God, because He'll never leave me or forsake me. Next, he says, we feel guilt or shame. Maybe we may say, I blew it. You feel unworthy or worthless. You know, Satan uses guilt, and I've said this before, Satan uses guilt, but God brings conviction in order to move us forward. I don't need to feel guilt or shame because the blood of Christ has washed away my sins. I'm a child of the one true King. Whatever is in my past is in my past. Satan likes to keep you feeling guilty so that you can't move forward to your future. God brings conviction to show you what is wrong so you could ask for forgiveness and then be forgiven and move forward and allowed in your past. And finally, being overwhelmed by others, judgment, feeling judgment upon you. Remember, don't live in other people's judgment. Let me say that again. Don't live in other people's judgments. What matters is that you are right with God. Don't allow other people to hold you in your past. If Jesus has said you are free indeed. Let me tell you something. People have long memories, and they will hold you to your past and remember every mistake you made. You don't have to worry about them holding you to your past. Make sure you're right with God and walk and the grace that He is giving you. Amen? So as we close this morning, let me encourage you with a couple of these verses from Hebrews. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. Do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive that which He has promised. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful man, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And finally, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. You will find the victory through your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so you have three choices. You can let your circumstance destroy you. You can let your circumstance define you. Or you can develop from it and have victory in Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and praise you for the power that we find through your Son. Lord God, it's so easy for many of us, as we go through difficulties in our life, loss of loved ones, loss of things that we're used to, such as jobs, maybe relationships, those hardships that come, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that you'd continually allow us to keep our eyes focused upon you, the author and finisher of our faith. I pray, Lord God, that we would remember in these times that you will be the one that brings healing to us, and that we trust you in that time of grief and mourning. But Lord, at a point, we don't allow it to overtake us. The Lord God, we don't allow it to destroy who we are and what you've made us. Lord God, we don't allow those circumstances to define who we are. Once a liar, always a liar. Lord God, instead that we allow your Spirit through persevering to develop the character within us which leads to hope. And in that hope, Lord God, we know that you make all things new and that our focus is upon the purpose that you've called us to in this life. So we thank you, Lord God, for the victory that we find in Jesus and the fact that we don't need to mourn all of our life. That, Lord God, we don't have to feel hopeless all of our life. But instead, Lord God, that we have that victory in you. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name.